Good morning, everyone. This remote meeting of the Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee is called to order, and we'll begin with taking the roll.
Chair Long.
Present.
Vice Chair Akam.
Present.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Present.
Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bo. Representative Bo. Representative Christensen.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Grunhagen.
Present.
Representative Hollins.
Present.
Representative Hornstein.
Present.
Representative Igo.
Present.
Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Lippert.
Present.
Representative Lislegard.
Lislegard present.
Representative Mecklens.
Present.
Representative Munson, I think is still excused, and then Representative Stevenson.
Present.
A quorum is present. All right, well, we are on day four of our omnibus bill hearing and day two of our amendments. And so I will hand the gavel back over to Vice Chair Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we made good progress yesterday. And I think we ended off with amendment number 30 or A30. So we'll start with that today and continue on. And after that, we'll go to the A31. So who will be offering the A30 this morning?
Madam Chair, I think I should move the bill once again, and then we'll get back to the amendments.
You know, thank you. I appreciate process and people who remember the details. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you like to move?
Yes, I will, Madam Chair. Thank you. I'll move that House File 2110 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. So now we'll move on with the amendments again. Sorry about that. Process is always very important. So beginning with the A30, who will be offering the A30 this morning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Swazinski. I'll be moving that. I think you're doing just a fine, fine job.
Well, thank you for that support. Representative Swazinski, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. The A30 amendment simply just adds the Center of the American Experiment as a member of the Legacy Transition Task Force. I've been very intrigued with the testimony that they have as an organization have brought before the committee. I think they have a unique perspective that I think the task force would benefit from. And I would ask members to do this as a friendly amendment to bring some diversity of thought to some of the groups and have this approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. I don't believe there's a need to designate a specific organization to have membership on the task force.
Any further discussion? Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would just strongly support Representative Swazinski's email. I'm familiar with the Center for American Experiment, and it brings a necessary perspective to that council. And I would sincerely appreciate the chair supporting this, because I think you need to hear two sides of every argument in order to make a proper decision. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No. Nay.
The amendment is not approved. And so next we have the A31, and after that we will do the A32. Who will be offering the A31 this morning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Swazinski. I'll be moving the A31 amendment.
Great. Representative Swazinski, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. Thank you. This amendment deletes natural gas throughout the reduction language in the bill, and I think that's we've had discussions on this. You know, it is it may be a soft baseload energy, but it is baseload energy, and I think any move to reduce that can potentially leave us out in the cold. And so I would just ask that members support this amendment, and thank you.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. The purpose of the Natural Gas Innovation Act is to shift natural gas to other sources, and so this I think is just a statement of that policy goal, and I would support keeping it in and oppose the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The amendment is not approved. Next we have the A32 amendment, and after that we will do the A33. We'll be offering the A32 this morning.
Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, what the amendment does, it bans foreign ownership of solar gardens here in the state of Minnesota. According to XL Energy, of information that was presented, 13% of solar gardens in the state of Minnesota are actually owned by Minnesota companies or individuals. 20% of our solar gardens are owned by international companies and individuals, okay? So we have more ownership of solar gardens by international. Now, according to the same testimony, the Commerce Department is artificially inflating the cost of solar by up to 3 times higher, from 4 cents up to about between 11 cents, even over 12 cents in the last 4 years since 2013. So we're artificially inflating the cost of solar energy, according to XL Energy, and then so all XL Energy customers are paying higher prices, and then since they're paying higher prices, then they're subsidizing profits for international individuals and corporations. As long as Minnesotans are paying higher prices, I think the least we can do is make sure that those profits, the majority stay in Minnesota or in at least the United States. So I would urge support of this amendment. And I'd ask for a roll call on this. Thank you.
A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. As drafted, this would prevent any company that is publicly traded and has an individual who lives overseas as one of their shareholders from owning a community solar garden, and that would include XL Energy, which does own community solar gardens. So I don't believe this would meet the goals of the author. And I'll just point out, too, that on the cost comparison, Representative Grunhagen, you're comparing apples to oranges if you're talking about wholesale prices for solar and the community solar program, which really is most comparable to rooftop solar and to retail programs. And when you make that comparison, community solar is significantly cheaper.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Grunhagen, go ahead.
So my response is, if that's a conflict, I'm sure the chair could modify the amendment inside of the bill. But the fact remains that 20% is owned by international corporations and individuals. And XL Energy customers, according to the representatives of XL Energy that's testified in our committee, are paying artificially inflated prices by the Commerce Department. So Minnesotans are paying inflated prices for solar, and they're profiting foreign companies and individuals. I think that's a travesty. So I again urge support of the amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. The clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Swiezinski.
Yeah.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Bowe?
Aye.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Franson?
Franson, yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, no.
Representative Lislegaard?
Lislegaard, no.
Representative Meckland?
Macklin, yes.
Representative Munson's excused, and Representative Stevenson.
No.
We With 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not approved. And so next we have the A33, and after that we will do the A34. We'll be offering the A33.
Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, this just further expands on the testimony from Xcel Energy. According to their information, 13% of all solar gardens are owned by corporations or individuals here in Minnesota. As I said just previously, 20% are owned by international companies or individuals, and 67% are owned by out-of-state Minnesotans. Again, according to Xcel Energy, the Commerce Department, Minnesota Commerce Department, is artificially inflating the cost. Those profits are now going to people like Warren Buffett and a utility out of Florida is cashing in on higher rates for Minnesota ratepayers. I again think this is a travesty. If we're going to artificially inflate the cost of solar to Minnesota ratepayers, the least we can do is have Minnesota companies and individuals own the majority of the solar gardens. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose this amendment for similar reasons as the last one. As I mentioned, there are publicly traded companies like Xcel that do own community solar gardens, and they have shareholders from all over the country. And so I think this would prevent potentially companies like that from owning community solar gardens. And I don't believe that that is the intent of the author, so I would oppose the amendment.
Any further discussion? Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Long, Chair Long, for that response. However, it still stands. We're charging inflated prices to the ratepayers of Minnesota, and this means fixed income and low income people. This is nothing more than this artificially inflated prices is nothing more than a transfer of wealth from the poor and low income people to the wealthy. That's what this is about. We shouldn't be doing that. We should make sure that people in Minnesota are actually benefiting versus out-of-state investors and international, which tells you when you have 67% of out-state and 20% of international, it's a government-mandated feeding trough, okay? And it hurts our farms, businesses, and our least and our low-income people the most, including minorities. So, Madam Chair, I would urge a yes vote.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay.
Aye.
No.
Nay. The amendment is not approved. And next we have the A34 amendment. After that, we will do the A35. Who will be offering the A34 this morning?
Representative Franson, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Certainly. So basically, the A34 simply removes the district energy contract extension. I don't believe that the case was made for $98 being the right price. We have zero idea of who is benefiting and whether they can even justify the $98. So I was provided some financials. I do not find those financials to be very useful in the information that I was looking for. So I'm not comfortable passing bills that directly enrich for-profit companies. To me, it's a grift with the taxpayers being fleeced. So, Madam Chair, I would respectfully ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Representative Franson.
I mean, a yes vote. I mean, sorry.
I'll
be voting yes.
It's early. Okay, we got it clear. We understand what you're asking for. And so any further discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I propose the amendment. I think we discussed this project a little bit yesterday, but the district energy project, the price agreement in the bill is a savings to ratepayers over the current price. And this project not only provides important energy to the downtown St. Paul area, but also is providing an important service with the Emerald Ash Borer as a destination for those trees. We don't have another backup plan right now. So this is a temporary two-year deal to try to help come up with a backup plan for Emerald Ash Borer and also to transition this plant towards an electrified plant. So I think it's in the best interest of all Minnesotans to move forward.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed aye. Say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A35 amendment, and after that, we will do the A36. Who will be offering the A35 this morning?
Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
No, I'll be there in a second. Okay, sorry about that. I got interrupted. Basically what this does, and again, it's based on committee testimony by XL Energy representatives, okay? So this is very factual and right from the industry. As I referenced before, Minnesota Commerce Department is artificially inflating the cost two and a half to three times higher over the last 4 years than what the actual market rate is. A market rate, according to XL Energy, is 4 cents per kilowatt hour on solar gardens. Why we would step in with socialism and mandate higher rates versus allow the market to set the rate is difficult for me to understand when we're supposed to be Americans, not socialists, okay? And yet this is what government does. Government makes things worse, okay? Not better, 95% of the time. So what this amendment would do is allow the market rate, 4 cents, to be charged, not the artificially inflated rate by the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And again, all XL Energy companies are paying higher rates because of this artificially inflated charge by Minnesota Commerce Department. Again, it's benefiting out-of-state investors to the tune of 67% and international investors to the tune of 20%. So we're forcing Minnesota ratepayers to pay higher artificially government-mandated rates to benefit and enrich people who don't even live in our state. That's a travesty. And Madam Chair, I'd request a roll call on this. Thank you.
A roll call being requested. We'll have a roll call. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. If Representative Grunhagen is concerned about government setting the price, then his amendment is the wrong direction because he's actually setting the price by this amendment. But I would just point out that as I mentioned earlier, the apples to oranges comparison of utility scale, large solar versus the types of smaller projects that are capped at 1 megawatt and so aren't able to get the same size reductions in price as you are with a very large installation. This is set by the value of solar rate, which is designed explicitly to hold consumers harmless by taking into account all of the values that solar provides. So I would oppose the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Grunhagen, did you have a response?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that response, Chair Long. So the choice is, members, do you believe Chair Long's response or do you believe XL Energy's response that actually deals with the programs, sets the price, and has given us the information in committee on what's actually being done? I tend to believe the people who actually work with it versus a committee member who has an agenda with a omnibus bill. So please vote yes on this. And again, I'd request a roll call. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We have, let's see, Representative Swazinski, did you have a response?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I actually agree with Representative Long with his concern about setting the price on, or along that same lines. I do believe it's actually going in the right direction as far as lowering the price. You know, if you know, maybe we could change the language a little bit to allow it to maybe cap it at 4 and then still allow it to go down, maybe improve. But I still think it's better than what's currently there. And I think folks would be good to support the Gruenhagen Amendment.
Thank you, Representative Szczesinski. Next, we have Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm trying to not speak very often. We have an enormous number of amendments to process, but sometimes I just can't resist. And in particular, I just wanted to note Representative Gruenhagen's adamant plea to the committee that we should trust the industry's comments was really striking to me, because I wish you would put that much faith in the statements of Xcel Energy and other utilities when they talk about how wind is the cheapest, most reliable source of energy on the market today. And it's not just their words, it's their actions. That's where those utilities are placing their bets financially. And his own utility, Great River Energy, which supplies the co-op, recently retired Coal Creek because they were losing hundreds of millions of dollars operating that coal facility. So, you know, if we're going to take these utilities at their words, we should also look at what their actions are, and they demonstrate that wind and solar is the cheapest forms of energy.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Representative Gruenhagen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for those responses. I would just strongly disagree. I did want the word market rate in there, however, it got drafted at 4 cents. And so it had deadlines, so that's why it's at 4 cents. But I actually would like market rate, because obviously if it would go lower than 4 cents, then we would want ratepayers to pay that amount. Be that as may, that's a technical modification that could be made, even if accept the accept the amendment. Secondly, the wind and the solar, by Representative Stevens' comment, that's because the government is mandating all this stuff. They have no choice legally. Okay, they wouldn't be doing it otherwise. We increase the regulations on clean coal-fired power plants. We increase the regulations on almost everything, and yet we subsidize the dollars with wind and solar. And the result is that I'm not against writing off business investment as a tax deduction, if you call that a subsidy. But when you give millions of dollars of subsidy, which this omnibus bill does to a particular form of energy, and that's just not my opinion, that's the opinion of Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and some of the other ones I referenced before, that is not equal fair competition. I'm for equal fair competition, not government mandating one form of energy and discriminating against others when it's perfectly clean and would reduce carbon, such as hydro and nuclear. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Szczesinski.
Yeah.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Lislegaard.
No.
Representative Meckland?
Yes.
Munson's excused. Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A36 amendment, and then we will do the A37 amendment. Who will be offering the A36 this morning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Meckland will be offering the A36.
Thank you, Representative Meckland. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would. In numerous conversations with the local co-ops, You know, the co-op started doing these energy conservation programs long before the state mandated them to do so, which had resulted in them taking a lot of the low-hanging fruit. And what they're asking for is the ability to modify or be exempted from some of these programs, or be, at least be able to prove that they're making good faith efforts, but, you know, it's getting harder and harder. You can, the first 20%, everybody's, you've heard it a million times, the first 20% is the easy and the last 20% is the hardest. So really what all this is trying to do is give them some relief and make it a little bit more of a fair playing field, since they began doing this long before the state mandated to do so. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative McClendon. I just want to let you know your audio was kind of cutting in and out at the end. I think we heard you, but just to give you a heads up on that. Any further discussion to the amendment, Representative Wong?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment in terms of what the municipal and cooperative utilities want. That's very clear. They support the eco bill as drafted. And they, in fact, just sent a letter to that effect yesterday to all members because we had the bill coming up on Tuesday. So this is a negotiated agreement that they support. And I would urge members to vote no on the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A37 amendment. Who will be, and then after that, we're going to do the A5. Who will be offering the A37?
I would like to move the A37, Madam Chair. This is Representative Igo.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Can you tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So this amendment, I think, is a no-brainer amendment. And what it's going to do is have the health of the state's existing mining and logging industries taken into effect when we're talking about policy like this. So when we are talking about renewable energy standards and clean energy first and all these different ideas, we need to remember that we have a backbone of industry that exists in Greater Minnesota, particularly in my district of 5B and Northeastern Minnesota as a whole. And we need to make sure that these policies aren't going to increase energy costs, because if they do, frankly, it's going to shutter the mines and paper mills that exists in Northeastern Minnesota. And that's going to put families of my district out of jobs. And it's going to be another depression for Northeastern Minnesota. I don't want to let that happen. So I'm going to hope that this amendment can be taken as friendly by the chair, and that we can add this to the bill, because I really think this is something we need to think about when we're making policy, so that we aren't driving jobs out of my region and killing my region. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. I appreciate its intent, and I also agree that we should be making sure that we are keeping energy rates low for businesses like the mining and logging industry. And fortunately, the bill already has that consideration in it. It requires reliability and affordability to be part of the determination. And I think that achieves the goals that the author has with this amendment.
And I see Representative Liz Lagarde would like to make a comment.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just like to comment to my dear friend and colleague from the West. I live and represent the core part of the Iron Range and the meat and potatoes. And I will support your amendment, because we do have to take all of this into consideration. And we need to keep our business and our industries and our families viable moving forward. But I do represent the core part of the Iron Range.
Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. And Madam Chair, I'd like to request a roll call on this. Thank you.
A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk can take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Igo?
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, no.
Representative Liz Lagarde?
Liz Lagarde, yes.
Representative Mecklen?
Mecklen, yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A5 amendment, and after that, we will do the A27. Representative Igo, are you doing the A5 as well?
Yes, I'll move the A5 as well, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, thank you. So this amendment reads, it would consider utilities good faith to obtain iron, copper, and nickel from Minnesota sources when we're constructing facilities to meet the standards. So I just want to talk about how important that is, and we started talking about it yesterday, but if we as a state don't start leading and responsibly sourcing minerals, these critical minerals, right, that we have here in northeastern Minnesota, we are going to create and further destroy our environment. I know that the hope of this committee, the Climate Energy Committee, is to make reasonable change, right, to make a difference. And if we're going to incentivize mandates and policy that's going to increase our need for copper, nickel, and iron to build this technology of the future, all we're doing is increasing demand in other parts of the world, like we talked about, have no environmental standards, have no labor standards, and we're going to further destroy communities around the globe while saying that we're being leaders. And I cannot morally let something like this happen when we can have the ability to do it here. In northeastern Minnesota, we've been mining safely for over 100 years, right? And we're doing it the right way. I would ask that members of this committee this summer, please come up and visit me in northeastern Minnesota, see these mines, see what we've been doing, and you'll understand that we've been doing it the right way and we continue to do it the right way. And we want to do that because we know we can do it safely, we know we can do it responsibly, and most importantly, we can do it positively. And this way, we're not going to further, we talked about human rights violations, we're not going to have children mining in the Congo, mining in Madagascar, and other parts of the world where they're slaves. And every time we fill up, we had the ocean liner block the Suez Canal. Those ocean liners pump hundreds of millions of tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. So when we're increasing the demand to bring these critical minerals from across the oceans, from foreign shores, we are putting more CO2 and damaging the environment faster than if we were to do it here safely, where all of us in this committee can keep an eye on it. So I really, really hope we can take this amendment and take some steps to really start looking at the copper, nickel, and iron that we have here in Minnesota and can use those critical minerals. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. I don't believe that the Public Utilities Commission is the right entity to be able to make these determinations, and I don't think it's a workable amendment as proposed.
Thank you, Representative Long. I think next we had Representative Liz Lagarde.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And once again, to my dear colleague, Representative Igo, I'll give you even a better tagline. Made right, made in Minnesota by the men and women who work and live here. Thank you. This is a good amendment.
Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. Representative Stevenson.
Oh, I just wanted to briefly comment. I appreciated Representative Igo for his invitation to visit the Iron Range. I actually love going to the Iron Range, and particularly enjoyed when Representative Liz Lagarde 2 years ago took a number of the members of the committee up to the Iron Range. Representative Long, Representative Akam, I know, went, myself, perhaps others that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head. And we did visit a number of mining facilities and saw firsthand the good care and effort that our friends in northeastern Minnesota put into it. So I just wanted to recognize that Representative Liz Lagarde has been championing issues like this, and I think he has better solutions than this particular amendment. So I'll be voting no on this and voting for the Liz Lagarde approach later.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Representative Igo.
Well, I just want to thank Representative Stevenson for his comments, but maybe it's time for another visit then if you guys aren't ready to vote for an amendment like this. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A27 amendment, and after that, we will do the A38. On the A27, who will be offering that? Is it Representative Igo?
Yep, that's me again.
Representative Igo, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, yeah, so this amendment is actually a bill I've been working on, and it's to declare Minnesota a mining-friendly state. And I think that's a really important step to continue the conversation we're having this morning. Our state agencies, our PUC, our MPCA, all of those are funded by the taxpayer, right? And I think it's important that we have an attitude here that the state of Minnesota is mining friendly. So when we're looking at companies that want to come here and utilize these critical minerals, right, to take away from the environmental destruction that's happening around the world, to take away from the human rights violations, to create a source of critical minerals that's coming from Minnesota, that's domestic, that we can spread to the rest of our country, to be leaders, right? We talk about that a lot in this committee. And I think that if we need to adopt this tone so that our state agencies remember that our job is to work together to find the solutions, not keep business out. And I really do think that this is a friendly amendment once again. I hope we can get behind this because this is really a great bill. And I have this bill as co-sponsors from around the state of Minnesota, bipartisan support. Representative Lissigard is a part of this bill with me. Let's move this bill. Let's make a change. And let's say we are going to be mining friendly here in the state of Minnesota and stop trying to push it out. I'm going to be requesting a roll call on this, and I really would encourage everyone's support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igo. A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. So any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Igo, for the amendment. I'll note that when you introduced that bill, it was not referred to this committee. It was referred to the Environment Committee. And that's because it is not in this committee's jurisdiction. And so because of that, I don't believe it belongs in the Energy and Climate Omnibus Bill. So while I think I agree that mining is an important part of our state and our economy, I don't believe that the particular amendment you're offering is within our committee's jurisdiction. So I ask members to oppose it.
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Swazinski.
Hey, thank you, Madam Chair. I support Representative Igo's amendment. I think, you know, wherever we can make a statement of supporting jobs in part of our state is a positive thing. And mining is obviously a big part of our economy. Logging is a big part of our economy. It doesn't take long to realize with lumber prices the way they are across the country, what an important aspect they play. And, you know, our natural resources are a real gift that we have in our state of Minnesota, domestic, locally grown, locally mined. And, I think, while it's maybe not the best fit, potentially, as Representative Wong said, I don't think it hurts anything to actually put it in this bill and just make a commitment to Northeast Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would also speak in strong support of Representative Igo. You know, I just add a couple of years ago, or several years ago, the University of Minnesota Geological Department estimated the amount of the value of the minerals in northern Minnesota at a minimum, members, $2 trillion. Not billion, $2 trillion. We're one of the richest states in the nation, and yet, because of our environmentalist anti-business and mining laws, we can't get at it. We could we could fund our schools properly, our roads and bridges, and we could lower our property taxes and our income taxes if we simply tapped in environmentally friendly way to these mineral resources, both Twin Metals and I forget the other company that had been working on this year after year after year, and yet they've had lawsuit, and delay after delay and create thousands of jobs. We need to protect the Boundary Waters canoe area. Nobody's talking about that, okay? But there is plenty of area that we can tap into these minerals, and the way they do modern mining, they can go down and sideways. They don't have to dig huge holes on it. So members, think about that. Think about your constituents. Think about the low-income people and the things we could do for those neighborhoods when we're sitting on one of the richest mineral deposits in the world. Instead, we're sending billions of dollars to foreign countries like China, who tend to be our adversary in so many areas. So we're enriching our enemies, and we're not tapping into the resources we have here. And Minnesota could be the bright, shining star of the North with the amount of mining resources we have. So I strongly urge members to support this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Next, we have Representative Lissigard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to help Representative Grunhagen, that is PolyMet that you were referring to. PolyMet is at the very facility that my grandfather helped build in the 1950s. So I'm fully aware of all of it. And I fully support it. You know, I don't support mining because it's a popular thing to do or the political thing to do. I do it because it's who I am. It's where we're from, and it's the right thing to do. And we can do it right. We should not be exporting our jobs and our conscience overseas to countries that don't have it, right? We know all the taglines. What this amendment does is it basically just putting a stamp on our belief that we can be leaders in this state, doing the right thing the right way. So, Representative Igel, this is a great amendment. That's why I signed on right away. And I just think it makes a statement. I do understand what Chair Long is saying, that it's supposed to go to the environment. But you know what? I don't really care what committee can go to taxes for all I care, because, you know, I love it, and I'm going to support it.
Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. Representative Igel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to say thank you for those positive comments. And just kind of to add on what Representative Gruenhagen was saying, you know, apart from how much money this could add to our state, these are family wage jobs. And I think the biggest testimony I want to leave everyone with is, you know, I come from a region of the state where, you know, our population is shrinking, right? We're looking for more jobs. We're looking for a way to keep our youth there. That's why I ran for office, everyone. That's why I'm here, is to find ways to grow my region so that I can raise a family there like my family did for me. And that's where my passion comes from. That's where this amendment is coming from, so that we as a state can start taking an approach and realizing that greater Minnesota matters, northeastern Minnesota matters, the range matters. So please support this amendment. Give the next generation hope that we're going to give them industries that are going to provide family wage jobs and a great living in the Northwoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igel. Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't like to speak after the chief author of the amendment, but I just wanted to add something I forgot to add. This comes from DFL longtime members here in the House, this information does, that was shared with me regarding northern Minnesota. And I completely agree with Representative Igel's and Lissagard's comments. This should be a bipartisan amendment and a bipartisan effort here. And let's do it environmentally friendly. But the DFL members from the Iron Range shared with me that years ago, the Iron Range and Duluth area had more millionaires per capita than any place else in the United States. Think about that, members. More millionaires per capita in northern Minnesota years ago than any place else in the United States. Of course, you go up to Duluth, you drive along the lake, and you see those houses that were built. You understand why. We can return to this, members, and we can do it in an environmentally safe way, but it needs to be bipartisan, and where we can work together. Accepting this amendment is a step in the right direction. And again, I appreciate Representative Igel's offering it, and also the comments by Representative Lissagard. Please vote yes. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. And my apologies about the order. That was my mistake. So sorry about that, Representative Igel. So seeing no further discussion, a roll call being requested, the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Twosinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igel.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
Liz Lagarde, yes.
Representative Mecklens.
Mecklens, yes.
Representative Munson is excused. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We next have the A43 amendment. Who will be offering the A43?
Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. And I again, my apologies. I don't think I announced that one in advance, so I didn't give you a heads up. So thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. Would you please tell us about your amendment?
Hey, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, what this amendment does, it simply says the people who own the solar gardens should pay for the cleanup one day these solar gardens, which we know have a lot of caustic elements in them, that are going to be
environmental. Speaking to the A38.
Oh, I'm Representative Grunhagen. I'm sorry. We're on the A43. My apologies. I had announced that we were going to do the A38, but we're actually on the A43. My apologies. Are you offering the A43 as well? We're going to do the A43 right now.
No. Okay, I'm offering the A43.
Okay, great. Okay. I think what you were describing was the A38, so my apologies. We're going to do the A43. We're human, make mistakes.
Okay.
That's right. Thank you.
If we show a little bit of grace, we can all go through this easier. Okay, the A43 you want to do. Okay, what this does, it removes the prevailing wage requirement on the construction of solar gardens. We had testimony in this committee that this artificially inflates the price of the solar garden construction. The other thing it does, it discriminates against other construction companies that cannot meet the prevailing wage requirements. And specifically, this includes many minority construction companies. So a vote for this amendment will eliminate that requirement in the bill and open up minority construction companies to participate in this construction, if this bill unfortunately would become law. But the least we can do is reduce the cost rather than artificially inflate it. According to the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, Minnesota has the fourth highest prevailing wage law in the nation. This artificially inflates, you know, our roads and bridges funded by state tax dollars, our colleges and universities it inflates. Millions of dollars are artificially inflated on these construction costs where state tax dollars are. Here we're talking simply about the construction of solar gardens. The result would be minority businesses that can't meet the standard but still do an excellent job. Things are inspected, permits are given. We have a check and balance in the system, could actually participate. So members, give these minority businesses and other businesses an equal playing field. I don't want to discriminate against union jobs, but I do want to create an equal playing field of competition. And that's what creates the best quality construction at the lowest cost to taxpayers and to society in general. So members, I urge support and I would ask for a roll call.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
I thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment strongly. We need to ensure that clean energy jobs are good paying jobs. And we know that prevailing wage benefits local communities and construction workers. Representative Igoe in his comments on the last amendment talked about family wage jobs. And this is ensuring that clean energy jobs are family wage jobs. And I believe that is important for us to do. Other states have moved forward with requiring prevailing wage for large clean energy projects. I don't think Minnesota should be left behind in that. And I'm glad that a roll call is requested because I really want to see how folks are standing up for family wage jobs in our state.
Thank you, Representative Long. Further discussion, Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a question. I mean, is it common? Community solar gardens are not a state project. These are private industry things that, I mean, obviously it's the price is set by the state, but it's my understanding that these are, I mean, the companies that bid on these can pay prevailing wage. But they bid on the project, they get either approved or don't approved. I mean, there's nothing banning this. Why is it necessary, and is it common practice for the state of Minnesota to require private projects to pay prevailing wage? You know, I understand, you know, in the housing industry, when we talk about affordable housing with grants, one of the big complaints is because of the prevailing wage component, oftentimes the increased labor costs offsets any benefit to actually receiving the grant when policy positions like this. And again, and So I'm just like, is this a common thing? Where else in state law do we require private companies to pay it? I understand that we're, you know, if they negotiated or if they unionize, that's one thing, but where do we else in state policy do we require it? And I'm asking that as a real question. I don't know.
And Representative
Susan Sierra, maybe nonpartisan staff could answer that.
Mr. Eloff, are you available to answer that question, or?
Madam Chair, Representative Swinzisky, I'm not familiar with how the labor law and the wage law works in this state. Sorry.
Representative Long.
Thank you for the question, Representative Swinzisky. So this would be an expansion of our existing prevailing wage requirements, but I think it's an important and timely one, because we are seeing a large boom in our clean energy economy, and we want to make sure that as we are moving forward with this boom, that we are ensuring that we have good wage, family-supporting jobs in our state. And in my view, the energy economy, where we're talking about projects that are approved through the Public Utilities Commission and through regulated utilities, those are projects in the public interest. And I think that the state has an interest in ensuring that those projects are providing good jobs.
Thank
Madam
you,
Chair.
Representative Swinzisky, follow up.
I forget who actually had this provision, who carried this as an individual bill, Chair Long.
Representative Long.
I did.
Did this portion, I'm guessing this portion did go through the labor bill or labor committee?
Representative Long.
Representative Swinzisky, no, it did not.
Okay. I understand what you're trying to accomplish with it. It's just, with your conversations with the industry folks within, I mean, with your testimony, you said that you want to, with large projects, which we admit that solar gardens have become a large part of the solar mix in the state. What do the industry folks say about this? Because you've got other bills that try to reform the program by changing it, by increase the cost in the revenue recovery. What is the industry folks said about this? Do they support this? Do they think the numbers work with the inflated price and stuff? And then now asking prevailing wage on top of it, how does that process work?
Representative Long.
What have they said? What have they said about it?
Sorry, Representative Swinzisky, I didn't mean to cut you off. Representative Long.
It's okay.
I think, Madam Chair, you'd have to ask them. We did not have opposition testimony from any developers when we heard this bill.
Well, I talked to other folks, and I just think this is, I understand what you're trying to do. You know, I agree with Representative Grunhagen on this amendment. I think, I'm all for if they unionize and they can bid in and they can get the project, I think that's fine. But by the state stepping in on a private investment, would this require, if this is in, let's say, community solar garden actually wanted, let's say a bunch of volunteers got put together and said, hey, we want to build our own solar garden, right, as a community. Would they be able to volunteer and do that, or would they be forced to pay prevailing wage if this passes? How would that process work?
Is that a question for the author of the bill?
Yes, not the amendment, but the bill as it sits.
Yes. Representative Long? And then we're going to have to move on. We've got a few other people who'd like to speak on this. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the provision that we're referring to, this was not a part of the community solar garden provision. This is a part of the 100% clean energy, and it's applying to large renewable energy projects that are approved by the Public Utilities Commission.
Thank you, Representative Long. Let's go on to Representative Liz Lagarde.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I am so grateful that this is being roll called. You know, all the conversations we have, everybody knows that I'm a labor guy, business, labor, and community. We have to have business successful so labor has an opportunity to provide for their families so our communities can prosper. This is the right bill moving this industry forward. This is non-negotiable. If you support working class people, you will support this, or you will oppose this amendment. We need to support the working class people. I will be watching this vote to see who is standing with working class people and who is not.
Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. Next, we have Representative Beau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And being on city council for many years, I can tell you that a lot of cities struggle with the prevailing wage requirements. Those requirements tended to drive up the costs of their projects that they had to do. And frequently that meant either scaling back those projects or perhaps postponing them for another time. And that put them behind on infrastructure improvement goals and things like that. So from that standpoint, it has an impact. So when you take that forward then to this now, which is more of a private sector situation, prevailing wage requirements, I believe, will drive up the costs of these projects, which we will all pay for. So that's my concern about it. I want good livable wages for everyone, but we all then have to pay the increased costs that this will bring to these projects throughout our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beau. Representative Franson, do you want to give a quick comment before then we finish up with Representative Grunhagen?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So I'm glad that we're talking about the wage issue here with these solar panels here in America. But remember, those that are actually making the panels in places like China, they're using forced labor, slave labor, not getting paid, working under inhumane conditions. And this country, this state, is profiting off of that. So yes, you can say that you want good wage supporting jobs in this state, but how many of you really care about the conditions of the people that are actually working on the panels? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Representative Grunhagen, final comments?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, and thank you for the discussion, members. I think it's something that needs to be vetted. Again, I just remind members, you're voting against and discriminating against minority construction job or construction company participation in this, as we had testimony to that effect in committee. So think through that carefully, members, and appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. A roll call being requested. The chair votes no.
Bev Long.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Beau.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Representative, yes.
Pardon me, can you repeat that, Representative Franson?
Yes, by ES.
Thank you. Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
No.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Lizegard.
No.
Representative Mecklund.
Yes.
Representative Munson is excused. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 5 ayes and 11 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A38 amendment, and then we will go to the A39, who will be offering the A38 today.
Is that the A38 you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yes, I am offering the A38.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
So the A38 sets up a fund. Members, as you know, I'm very concerned about the human rights issues that are taking place in other places of the world so that this country and the state can profit and achieve their green energy dreams. So I'd like to take things right from fact, not my own opinions, because I believe that facts possibly can move people more than my own personal thoughts. So this is taken from a very recent article, February 10th, 2021, a Bloomberg article. Why is it so hard for the solar industry to quit Xinjiang? And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Chinese solar companies are among 175 around the world that signed a non-binding pledge by a U.S. trade group to avoid forced labor. It will be much harder for them to actually cut ties with Xinjiang, the Western China region facing increasing scrutiny for human rights abuses. Now, yesterday I did touch on some of them, women being raped. There's an article I posted on Twitter. It's just appalling. It's absolutely appalling. I implore you all to read it. That is from, I think, The Independent. The pledge from the Solar Energy Industries Association, a U.S. trade group, doesn't specifically mention Xinjiang. The region in Western China plays a dominant role in global solar supply chain, and it has also become the center of widespread accusations that that the president is systematically oppressing Muslim Uyghurs. An accompanying press release, however, calls for the pledge's signatories to quit the territory over evidence of forced labor. This move sheds light on a dirty secret of the solar industry. It relies on Xinjiang and its cheap coal power to produce half of its key raw material. And with demand for panels set to explode as the U.S. and China commit to more clean power, it will be even harder for the energy to quit the troubled region. Members, this is very disturbing stuff. So I believe that if we are going to profit and move toward this green utopia, then we need to be setting aside funding. And that's why I want a surcharge on the products to fund anti-slavery programs. However, this amendment was not exactly written the way that I would like it to be, so I am withdrawing it.
Thank you, Representative Franson. The A38 has been withdrawn. Next, we have the A39, and after that, the A40 will be offering the A39.
Myself, Madam Chair, I will be offering the A39. Similar to the amendment I just offered, this one I will not be roll calling. So I would like I will not be withdrawing. I would like a roll call on this one. So this is an electric car tax to fund anti-child slavery program in the Congo, $1,000 per car. Members, if you just take a nice little Google of this topic, you will find headlines such as Congo, child labor in your electric car. Are child miners exploited to manufacture electric cars? Child labor behind smartphones and electric car batteries. Apple and Google named in a U.S. lawsuit over Congolese child cobalt mining deaths. Children dying because we need this green utopia. So that is the amendment. Common sense, let's start a fund so that we can send money to nonprofits to help rescue these children and people who are living human beings. These are human beings that need to be rescued from this industry that exploits them.
Thank you, Representative Franson. And it's the ruling of the chair that the amendment is out of order under Rule 4.03. Paragraph F, because it raises revenues and is not within our budget resolution.
Can I appeal the ruling?
You can appeal the ruling. And
appeal the ruling, and I'd like a roll call.
You can appeal. Yes, well, we have an appeal to the ruling. I'll get this figured out. And a roll call has been requested, so there will be a roll call. And just to make clear, a yes vote is to sustain the ruling of the chair, which is to not hear the amendment, and a no vote is to reverse the ruling of the chair. Roll call being requested, the chair votes yes.
Representative Long.
Yes.
Representative Szczesinski. Minority Leads Szczesinski. Representative Bierman.
Yes.
Representative Bo.
Bo, no.
Representative Christensen.
Yes.
Representative Franson.
No.
Representative Grunhagen.
No.
Representative Hollins?
Yes.
Representative Hornstein?
Yes.
Representative Igo?
Igo, no.
Representative Lee?
Lee, yes.
Representative Lippertz?
Yes.
Representative Lizegard is excused. Representative Mecklens?
No.
Representative Munson is excused. Representative Stevenson?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you have me down as a no. This is Representative Szczesinski. Sorry.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
I believe you are listed as a no.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, so there
I
being
it up, so we're good.
We get into habits, I understand. So there being 9 ayes and 6 nays, the ruling of the chair is sustained. The next amendment we have will be the A40, and after that, the A47. Who will be offering the A40?
A40 goes to Franson, shocker, I'm sure.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Please tell us about your amendment.
Well, I can assume that this amendment is going to go the same path as the A39, but members, maybe it's just because you don't want to take a tough vote. Perhaps you really don't want to acknowledge the fact that your version of clean energy is dirty energy because it abuses human beings so that this country can move toward their utopia, a utopia that grifts off of human capital and unsuspecting people's wallets. Madam Chair, I am going to withdraw this amendment, but don't worry, these will be back, I'm sure, on the House floor.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Next, we have the A47 amendment, and following that will be the A48. Who will be offering the A47 this morning?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I offer the amendment. Chris.
Thank you, Representative Sudzinski. Yes, please tell us about your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a solar garden reform amendment. This works to just reform the program to probably get it back into probably the condition that was probably originally sold to the legislature when it was initially passed. I'd appreciate a green vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sudzinski. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. This really would decimate the most successful community solar program in the country.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. And so the next we have the A48, and after that the A50. Who will be offering the A48 amendment?
Madam Chair, Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Would you please tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, basically what the A48 does, it simply says that when cleanup time comes for the solar gardens, it does not include wind at this point, that it has the cost of the cleanup of these solar gardens has to be paid by the owners of the solar gardens, not higher rates for the rest of the ratepayers in the state of Minnesota. Again, since we've got, according to Excel, 67% of ownership outside the state and 20% outside the country, the least we can do is have them pick up the cost of cleanup on these, because one day these are going to go kaput, just like the windmills. Now, I regret that I did not include prevailing wage requirement in this amendment, because as long as they're soaking the ratepayers, the least we can do is soak them with prevailing wage when the cleanup costs come, okay? And artificially inflate it 15, 20, 25%. They deserve it, all right? People like Warren Buffett and the rest of them that are making hand over fist money at the expense of our Minnesota ratepayers. So, Madam Chair, I would strongly encourage out-of-state and international owners to pay the cost, not the ratepayers of the state of Minnesota, especially our low-income and minority families. Thank you, Madam Chair. Encourage a yes.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. The Pollution Control Agency is currently engaged in a stakeholder process with the industry on end-of-life issues, and I believe that's the appropriate place for this to move forward.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 And all opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A50, and after that, the A51. will be offering the A50 this morning.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, what number did you say?
The A50, 50. Oh,
okay, Madam Chair, that would be Representative Mecklen will be offering the A50.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Naturally, I would, Madam Chair. This is something that I've been thinking about for the last several years. As I live right next to a large power plant. I've gotten to know a lot of the engineers, the people that somebody needs to mute. Sorry. A lot of the engineers, the folks that actually make these power plants run, and they have, you know, a vast array of knowledge. We hear from some of the representatives of these power companies that, you know, while they have a great way of explaining certain things, they don't actually make these places run. So a lot of these workers, engineers, and others would love to have their voice heard, but they're terrified that if they did, they would be either lose their job or lose their pensions going forward. So all this simply does is if they choose to come and testify, if they choose to have their voice heard, that they have protections under, you know, from the state that they cannot have these, you know, any repercussions back at them. I would also ask for a roll call. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the amendment, Representative Mecklen. I do support whistleblower protections, but this is a brand new concept to me, and it's as far as I know, was not introduced in the bill, or if it was, we never received a request for hearing for it. So it seems like with a policy change of this size, this would deserve further discussion. So at this point, I'd ask members to vote no, and perhaps we could discuss it further.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Tuzinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, no.
Representative Lizligard's excused. Representative Mecklen.
Mecklen, yes.
Representative Munson's excused. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 6 ayes and 9 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We next have the A51, A51, and after that the A52. Who will be offering the A51 this morning? Anyone offering the A51?
Sorry, Madam Chair, I was still on mute. Representative Swazinski will be offering the A51 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Can you tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. This deletes the waiver on certificate of need for wind and solar projects. You know, obviously, you know, if we wanted real reform, we would just get rid of the certificate need in total. But to just pick and choose certain parts of the certificate need portion of this, I think it's kind of halfway there, and this amendment just removes that portion. So I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this provision, I think, is an important regulatory reform and is distinguishable in terms of why we are dealing with certificates of needs in this circumstances, which is that this is when we're not dealing with ratepayers, but independent power producers. And so there is no need to demonstrate a certificate of need process for those types of projects. So I would oppose the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing
Madam
no-
Madam Chair.
Representative Swazinski, follow
and
up.
And just to add, you know, I mean, obviously we have to read into why certain provisions are in bills, but, you know, my guess is because maybe we just don't need this electricity. Maybe a reason why we're trying to get rid of the certificate of need. That's just a guess, but I don't know. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, that's incorrect, Representative Swazinski. Nobody's going to build a project where there isn't an offtaker, there isn't a customer, but a number of these projects might be for commercial and industrial customers, or they may be for selling it for a particular utility, but they may not have that ready to go at the time that they're constructing. So that's a process that makes sense in the context of a regulated utility, but not in the context of an independent power producer.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion to the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
Nay.
No. Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A52 amendment, and after that we will be considering the A54. Who will be offering the A52 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm moving the A52 amendment, Representative Swierczynski.
Thank you, Representative Swierczynski. Please tell us about your amendment.
Yeah, this is a unique issue that I think is moving forward. I think this amendment is crafted around a bill that Representative Rob Eklund is carrying in the House and Engelbritzen in the Senate. And it's got some growing concern when it comes to hunting groups across the state and the proximity of solar farms to public land. Minnesota Deer Hunters Association has come out in support of this language. MOHA, which is the organization that represents most of the hunting groups within the state, and just the uniqueness of a way a solar farm is built. You know, it's most solar farms have an 8-foot chain link fence that's all the way around it. And, you know, obviously that's going to limit the ability for wildlife to move in and out of state parks, move in and out of WMAs. And I think the auspice of this was there is a solar farm up, I believe, by the city of Osakis. We did a small tour, a few members, to take a look at that project. And it literally is on the fence line on the WMA. And if anyone hunts deer or pheasants or turkey, one of the biggest issues that you always have, and as a 12-year-old, you're taught to know what you're shooting at and what's behind it. You know, so just as you wouldn't necessarily go deer hunting or something in the middle of the city because there's houses there, obviously solar farms are a big investment. I think under current law, there's a half-mile setback for solar or for wind energy to WMAs and state parks, just because of what it can potentially do and disturb wildlife. And this kind of goes along those same lines. Hunting groups are growingly, you know, it's been talked about that we're going to have over 100,000 acres of land that's being put in across the state. And we're just saying that, you know, the state's a large investment in WMAs and state parks, that it, and wildlife is obviously a big part of that. Deer can't run through an 8-foot fence. Turkeys don't like to nest underneath trees, and neither do pheasants. And so, you know, when the DNR is mandating and working on hunting preserves for pheasants, they oftentimes cut trees down because oftentimes predators will perch above their nesting spots. And so in order to eliminate that, for not for easy pickings, and oftentimes pheasants feel that what I've heard is they look at solar panels in the same manner, is that would be a tree, potentially like a tree that a predator would nest above and look down and potentially attack the nest. And so this gets after that. I'm not going to ask for a vote on this. I just wanted to bring it up as a subject matter that I think we really need to have a discussion about, as this is a growing potential, and potentially maybe if this bill comes to the floor, Representative Long, we could have a conversation about that, about potentially including it. But I think it's a discussion we do need to have as policymakers. And whether you agree with solar or not, if it's going to be moving forward, we should be choosing where it goes wisely. So I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swierczynski. Excuse me. Next, we have the A54 amendment, and after that will be the A55. Who will be offering the A54?
Representative Bo will. And as I look at it, though, I realize that, you know, while I'd like to give everyone another chance to vote on this great idea of emphasizing cost and reliability, I think the A54 really is a duplication of what we tried to do with the A6, and so I will withdraw that.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Bo. It's my mistake. I think it was already withdrawn formally, and it just was still in my stack.
So no, not a
problem. My apologies.
Nope.
I was just checking to see if people were paying attention.
We
so
are.
Thank you for catching it. So next we will have the A55 amendment, and after that the A56. So who'll be offering
Madam Chair, I'll be offered the A55, and I just assumed you wanted to spend more time with us Friday morning. That's all.
I have enjoyed it, and I will say it has gone quite well, so I am appreciative of that. And I'm also recognizing that the A56, which is what we're going to do next, has also been withdrawn. So now we are doing the A55, and then we are going to do the A57. So with the A55, who's offering that one?
The A55, Madam Chair, is I'll be offering that amendment.
Go ahead.
And this is, so we are just going to reinstate this annual report on decoupling pilot programs. And I think the Commerce Committee's budget, I think there's a cut to that, reflect to that workload. And that's what this amendment does, and I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Susinski. Any further discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. This is trying to cut a report that's no longer needed. The commission has taken all required actions under the statute, and decoupling might have been novel in 2007 when the statute was enacted, but the programs are well established since then, and this report is unnecessary.
Seeing no further discussion to the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A57 amendment, and we will then do the A58 after that. We are so close, people. Okay, so the A57. Who will be offering the A57?
Madam Chair, I'll be offering the A57 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, this amendment, I think, really is a good reaction to the polar vortex that we had. We have a lot of dollars that are sitting in the RDA fund as a balance, and this would simply just transfer those dollars out of that account, which are essentially a tax on ratepayers, and just move that taxed money to LIHEAP. And I think it's pretty straightforward. It accomplishes a lot of goals that I think is a shared goal throughout this committee, and takes existing dollars to help accomplish that goal. So I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. LIHEAP is an extremely important program, and one I certainly support, but we did just get a large federal influx of money for our LIHEAP program. And this would remove a number of the really important programs that we're funding out of the renewable development account in this bill. So I ask members to oppose it.
Seeing no further discussion to the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A58, and then I believe we will wrap up with the A59. Will be offering the A58.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mecklen will be offering the A58.
Thank you, Representative. Will you tell us about your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, we had this conversation a few weeks back, and I think some of our members may have took it, this amendment, for they had some strong feelings about it. But my concern, and why I want the names of these cities included in here, I appreciate Representative Christensen's efforts to get some assistance with the host communities. And I realize that the language says that the host communities will be benefiting from this. My concern is long-term, down the road, 10, 15, 20 years from now, what else could attach to this program should it all still exist? By simply putting in the eight names, it designates this particular program is specifically put together for these eight cities. And that's the only reason I asked for it. I hope I can get your long support on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Meckland. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the intent of the amendment, Representative Meckland, and I certainly am supportive of Representative Christensen's bill and efforts to have cities do this important planning work. The only reason that I oppose the amendment is because I don't believe that the cities that have nuclear plants in them are facing the same level of urgency as other cities that are seeing coal plant closures imminently. And so it may be that we can come back in 10 or 15 years, as you mentioned, and add in the nuclear plant cities, but I don't believe that there's the same level of urgency, and I'd like to see our focus on those cities where there is a real time crunch.
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I just want to speak to Representative Becklin's amendment. You know, this is just really important to my district, you know, and to have the city of Cohasset listed in this, it would just, I think, make everyone in my community sleep just a little bit easier, knowing that they're going to make sure they're protected, they're in the legislation. You know, this is a very tribulous time for my community as we're trying to figure out what we're doing, because we're ramping up these approaches, and that's a whole nother conversation. But I just really think this would be a great way to tip the hat to these host communities and just say, we're going to put you in this bill and we're going to make sure you're not forgotten. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igo. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We next will have the A59, and I didn't forget the A60, so we have that after this one as well. So the A59, who will be offering the A59?
Representative Franson, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Can you tell us about your amendment, please?
Yes, so I was very bothered last week when we were basically told we have to pass the bill in order to find out how expensive it is, that there was no need or no belief that this bill was going to raise energy costs. And I kind of disagree with that. My question that I had asked was, who will pay for the billions in transmissions and other infrastructure required to comply with the California Energy First and the 100% by 2040 mandate? My constituents, your constituents, the state of Minnesota, deserve transparency. And as we know, how the administration interprets a bill has a huge impact on legislation. And so I believe that we need to know the costs involved before we vote on a bill, subjecting our constituents, possibly, most likely, to higher energy bills. And so I believe this bill that is going to be passed out of this committee and voted on the House floor commits our constituents to paying so much more for their energy costs. Just here, residential electricity costs have grown 2.5 times more than the U.S. Adeline? Average in the last Adeline. 15 years. Commercial industrial, 20 times more than the U.S. average in the last 15 years. This committee has been full of infomercials for special interest groups, this business parading their product and that business parading their product, but not a whole lot of focus has been spent on the citizens of the state and how all of these groups and their little green energy projects are going to raise the costs. So my amendment that I have here would say, before we can vote on a particular energy bill, we need to know exactly the impact of impact that it's going to be on our constituents. I mean, we should all know the costs before we pass the bill, Madam Chair. But I think I'm going to pull the amendment because it's better suited into going into a rules committee than it is, but I just wanted to have that conversation that we are passing a bill. We have absolutely no idea how it's going to impact the budgets of the families that we work for. It is their funding. Government does not have a right to continually just go into the taxpayer's wallet for this and that and say, oh, it's just a couple of cents here, it's just a couple of dollars there. It's real money, and it impacts families in a very real way. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Franson. The A59 has been pulled. Our final amendment, we made it, is the A60. Who will be offering the A60 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Swazinski will be offering the A60 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swedzinski. Can you tell us about your amendment, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. This amendment reinstores the sunset on the $500,000 per year commerce assessment. You know, we believe that obviously commerce needs to do work and understand and do and potentially travel. But we think that, you know, having a sunset and having that review, keeping the power in the legislature to look at this and decide whether or not to continue it is a good thing. And always being able to have that ability to ignore it and it goes away. I think that's a wise decision. Whenever we get rid of a sunset, I don't think the state of Minnesota suffers. And so what I'd like to do is just reinstate that. I hope this can be viewed as a friendly amendment with the understanding that we need to empower legislature more than decrease its abilities. So I'd appreciate a green vote.
Thank you, Representative Swedzinski. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. I believe that these are important and ongoing duties of the Department of Commerce and that they should be funded without them having to worry about them every 2 years. And so I ask members to oppose the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. Further discussion, Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would speak in favor of the A60, Representative Swedzinski. I just think putting sunset clauses in these bills, whether this one or other ones, gives the legislature a chance to assess the results. I mean, that just makes sense rather than just create an ongoing situation. You know, there's, I think it was President Reagan said that the closest thing to eternal life is the government program, okay, and here on Earth. So I would strongly support this and would ask Chair Long to reconsider his opposition to it. It simply gives all of us, regardless of which side of the aisle we're on, whether we support or have concerns about this alternative energy bill, to reassess the Commerce Department's $500,000 a year per commitment. So please vote yes on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
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 And those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Nay. The amendment is not adopted. Well, I will just say here quickly, thank you all so much for your work in helping us get through all those amendments and the discussion that accompanied them. And so as we continue on, are there any final comments from members before we vote on the bill? I see Representative Grunhagen has his hand up.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to compliment you for allowing a good discussion. We have, obviously, we have a lot of passion on both sides of this issue, or both sides of the aisle on this, and you've done a very good job of allowing that discussion, so I want to thank you for that, okay? I was going to send you a note, but I'll do this instead. That way everybody can hear it.
Well, I thank you, Representative Grunhagen.
I do have a couple final comments on the bill, okay?
Please go ahead.
You know, I think regardless how people vote on this, we all care about the environment. And the other thing to realize is technology has always solved our environmental concerns, whether it's with our gas cars or clean coal technology, natural gas, whatever it is, America's private sector, equal competition in so many areas creates innovation, lower cost, and environmentally friendly technology. And I don't care whether it's mining or this or whatever area. So I'm not doubting anybody's desire to protect the environment. I want to protect the environment, but I believe we can do it most effectively through private equal playing field, private competition, and American ingenuity, which has always solved our problems. Secondly, I do think there's a big misdirection in this bill, however. You know, we had testimony from Mr. McCann. Our landfills are giving off 12 tons of methane and CO2, which is causing a huge amount more pollution than what this bill tries to address. In fact, Mr. McCann gave the ratio of 12 to 1, 12 tons from the landfill, 1 ton from other areas. So we should be promoting incinerators for our landfills. So much of the landfills could be done effectively and environmentally friendly way with incinerators. And yet we seem to discriminate against them and want to shut them down and create a crisis in the landfill area, along with negative environmental effects of a huge amount, more than what we're trying to address in this bill. The second thing, I just go back to the prevailing wage requirement testimony we had. We had clear testimony that this is going to discriminate against minority businesses. Now, members, some might call that racist, okay, that we're creating a bill that puts a fence from allowing minority businesses to compete on an equal playing field. So I would ask that the author of the bill, Chair Long, would reconsider some modification on that. Again, the Minnesota Chamber says we're the fourth highest in the nation, and that should be modified and allow more people to participate in this without artificially inflating the cost. Second thing is, for those of you who actually believe everything that's been said about alternative energy, in spite of what the concerns we've tried to raise, I would just ask that you live out your convictions. You should disconnect your house from all baseload electricity and from our electric infrastructure and go completely with solar and wind. Live out your conviction. Disconnect. You're paying little or nothing with this bill for the maintenance of our electric grid system. And therefore, we're transferring those costs onto the higher rates onto the rest of ratepayers. So if you really believe what you've been saying in this committee and you vote for this bill, then I'd urge you to live it out. I try to live out what I believe, okay? I want baseload electricity. I don't have a problem with natural gas, clean coal, hydro, nuclear, et cetera. But if you really believe you'd like to see all that eliminated down the road, then please disconnect your house from the electric grid. Put up solar, put up wind, which some claim provides baseload electricity, and then when you freeze to death in winter and you sweat to death in summer, maybe you'll start thinking through what the actual science is. So members, please vote to oppose this bill. Again, I realize we're passionate on this, but let's do what's best for all our constituents and not artificially drive up their rates with non-baseload electricity. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Next up is Representative Hornstein. I recognize he does not have his hand up, but he texted me because his hand isn't working. So, Representative Hornstein, you can give your comments next.
The computer hand isn't working.
That's what I meant.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Chair. First and foremost, to both of you, you've done an excellent job with this committee. And I want to thank Representative Swedzinski, too. I've learned a lot from everyone on this committee and all of the different speakers that we've had from the industry, from nonprofits, citizens, youth. I applaud you, Mr. Chair, for bringing so many voices into our discussion. I want to call attention to a couple provisions that I moved in this bill that are included. And Mr. Chair, I'm very grateful for their inclusion. And I think they're significant. I've worked on both of these for several years. And so it's really gratifying to see them included in an omnibus bill. The first one has to do with the Buy Clean study. I think this has received a lot of attention in this committee, and that's very gratifying. I particularly appreciate Representative Lislegard. His advocacy, I think, has really helped move this along. We are going to study how the state can reduce carbon emissions through our procurement process. in terms of various construction materials. And that relates a lot to the work that I do in the Transportation Committee as well. So I'm very excited about that. And I think that has a lot of potential for bringing a lot of groups together that may not always agree on other issues, but we agree on the need to buy clean. So thank you for that, Mr. Chair. Secondly, it does relate to something that Representative Gruenhagen noted, and I think the fact that we have included solid waste issues in a climate and energy bill is groundbreaking and very important. I think the phase out of garbage incineration is significant. That is a source of greenhouse gas emissions as well as other pollutants. And we have much better alternatives for energy and climate, particularly recycling, waste reduction, and organics composting. And that transition takes place over a number of years. And so I think that we are preparing counties and others for that important transition. And secondly, a related provision that you've included of mine, which is to simply say that the downtown Minneapolis garbage incinerator is not renewable energy. It is not the same as wind and solar. And I think that is a very, very important distinction to make because a polluting facility like that should not be receiving credits. It should not be counted towards renewable energy. And so that is a very, very important milestone that we've reached in this bill. And to the previous point I made about phasing out incinerators, and Representative Gruenhagen, I think, has repeated some mythology about landfills. Incinerators create and continue landfills because they create the ash. Ash has to be landfilled. That's a very dangerous byproduct of the combustion process. So we're continuing landfilling and, in fact, making it more dangerous. So with incineration. So those are two provisions, Mr. Chair, that I really appreciate your including. I think they're important. We haven't seen those in the past in a bill like this. And along with so many other innovations, whether it's electrification of our infrastructure, whether it is that transition to 100% clean energy, that is so significant and so groundbreaking. And we now have a solid bill, which I think can serve as an important national model. So thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Next, we have Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members for the robust discussion throughout the amendment process and throughout the first few months of session in putting this bill together. I really appreciate the discussions around what are we doing to protect, you know, some of our most vulnerable Minnesotans, those that are low income, those from our Black, Indigenous, and communities of color. We have several provisions in the bill that really it gets to, you know, what we're trying to do here and really protecting and enriching the lives of Minnesotans. And specifically to just some of the discussion points that have been brought forth before from the two members around incinerators, I just, you know, want to ask all of you to, you know, ask yourself, have you ever, you know, lived within 5 minutes of an incinerator? I have for the last 29 years of my life. And this is something that's, you know, harmful to the health and well-being of my family, my community members. And we really need to think about what are we doing as a state and what is our responsibility to protect the health and well-being of those Minnesotans who are living and breathing this every single day, and that we should not be prioritizing profit over human health and human life. And in addition to that, you know, Mr. Chair, I really appreciate you including several of my provisions. One specifically around the electric buses for the MAC Council and Metro Transit. This is going to help these communities that are transit dependent, and that, you know, we understand how the transportation sector is impacting greenhouse gas emissions and also, you know, public health. And so I'm really glad that we're moving forward as a state to, you know, push for EV buses so that we could address some of the health disparities that we see, especially among those that are utilizing transit as a means of moving around the metropolitan region, whether that's for work, whether that's to, you know, visit friends, you know, just, you know, everyday living. And then Also, Mr. Chair, I really appreciate the inclusion of the money for the pilot program to increase diversity in the clean energy economy. This is groundbreaking. We have seen the report already. We need to make sure that our communities of color and our lowest income communities actually, you know, have the ability to participate in this new emerging economy. And so I appreciate that inclusion. I think this could be a model, not just for other parts of the state of Minnesota, but for the rest of the country. And another piece, you know, is the Rebuild Right program, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate you including this at the amount that we have so that these businesses and residential household that were impacted by the civil unrest after the murder of George Floyd can actually rebuild back better so that they could actually save in the long run with regards to energy use and conservation. So I really appreciate these inclusion in the bill, and I think that this is a bill that we all should support to move Minnesota forward and protecting the health and the well-being of everyone. And members, I urge your support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Next, we have Representative Lippert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, thank you for gracefully leading us through so many amendments these last few days. And to the Chair, I want to thank Chair Long for his leadership on this bill. It's an excellent bill. And as you kicked off this discussion about this bill, you said this bill is going to be making sure that Minnesota is leading the transition to a clean energy economy. And I completely agree. And I think even more is happening. I think this bill is showing leadership in how we address climate change economy wide. There are many provisions that are doing that. I just want to highlight a couple that are provisions of mine that I'm very excited are in the bill. One is the Future Fuels Act that would put a clean fuel standard in place, steadily decreasing the carbon intensity of fuels in the state of Minnesota, leading to cleaner biofuels, increased electrification, and Minnesota taking leadership among Midwest states in reducing emissions in the transportation sector. Another provision of mine in the bill that I'm excited is there is the Innovation Finance Authority, which would accelerate energy efficiency projects for households with low incomes, many of them communities of color or people who live in hard to reach rural areas, reducing energy bills, creating good family supporting jobs across the state in the process, and helping Minnesota tackle carbon emissions in the housing sector. And for Minnesota to be meeting next generation climate goals, we need to be doing this and tackling this hard work. And this Innovation Finance Authority can also help finance more small rooftop solar installations. It can help farmers refinance debt to put more soil health practices on the land, which is good for water, but also a start in reducing emissions in the agricultural sector. So this bill and the many provisions in it is exciting to me because I think it's taking a holistic approach to addressing climate change as we think about our whole economy. And I think it allows Minnesota to show true leadership. And that's who Minnesota needs to be, and the rest of the country needs that from the state of Minnesota. So I want to thank the chair and committee members for all of the work on this bill and our discussion, and I'll be proud to support this bill today.
Thank you, Representative Lippert. Next, we have Representative Christensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief. First of all, I'll be selfish and say thank you for supporting communities who are going to be making some big changes here coming up with coal plants, which play such a huge, huge, important role in their communities. Thanks for the bipartisan support on that bill. But I also want to say, thanks to every, Minority Lead Swazinski, Chair Long, Vice Chair Acomb for your leadership in the committee. And it's really been for how heated some of these discussions could get. I think we've been pretty tame. And I will say, as Representative Hornstein said, I have learned so much. And so the testimony that we've heard on all sides has been important to my education in terms of what clean energy really means. So thanks. But I also want to say thanks to the Herculean efforts, of the staff. They're the ones that take all 50 of these amendments on. They're the ones that, are doing all that work behind the scenes that make us look good up here on the screen. So Thank you to everyone, and I've thoroughly enjoyed, you know, being on this committee, and it's been like going through an intense college course on clean energy, and it's been a great experience. So thanks to everyone.
Thank you, Representative Christensen. Next, we have Representative Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, I allow me to join the many people who are saying thank you to you for your efforts these last couple of days, I mean, really throughout the session. But I don't know that there's any other omnibus bill that finance bill that's moving to legislature this year that had to go through 50 some odd amendments in committee. And I admire the way you handled that. I thought very fairly and well. Also, thanks to Chair Long for putting together this great bill and for his leadership throughout the year, and to Minority Leader Swazinski, who I think sets a real example for how you can disagree without being disagreeable. I think he always seems to have we can't see each other, but he seems to have a smile on his face throughout, even when we have difficult conversations, and I appreciate his approach to the committee. I'm excited, and in that vein, let me start by my comments about what I like about this bill by agreeing with the unlikeliest person that you can imagine me agreeing with, which is Representative Grunhagen, who expressed some concern about emissions coming out of landfills. One of the provisions that I'm most excited about in this bill is the Natural Gas Innovation Act, which, among other things, will allow CenterPoint to capture those emissions and put them to beneficial use. And I think that's an important policy provision that will begin the process of decarbonizing our natural gas sector, and I'll giving multiple tools to CenterPoint and our other utilities in the state to do innovative work to have low cost and local sources for our heating energy needs. I'm also really excited that the bill includes Clean Energy First bill that I've been partnering on with Senator Senjan in the Senate for many years now, as well as my electric vehicle bill, which I'm also partnering on with Senator Senjan, which takes some important steps forward in transitioning our transportation and utility sectors, respectively, towards clean energy. And I, of course, would be remiss if I did not mention one of my very favorite bills of the year, the Energy Conservation and Optimization Act, which will be on the floor as a standalone next Monday, and which really represents, I think, legislating at its best, where you have a lot of groups getting together who don't always see eye to eye, utility groups, labor unions, business groups, environmental groups, all giving up a little bit, making compromises, and finding a solution that has really broad support. And so I'm encouraged it's in this bill. I'm encouraged it's on the House floor, and I'm looking forward to voting yes today and yes on Monday.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Next, we have Representative Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I want to thank you, Chair Aikum, for allowing a great deal of good discussion. This went very well, I thought, and yet, you know, you allowed folks to speak their mind, and that was important, so thank you for that. Also, thank you, Chair Long, for including my bill in this, or my verbiage in that. I'm very excited about that. I'll be honest, that is one of the parts of this bill that I really like, but there are several other parts of this bill that I like too. There are some other parts that I have major concerns about. And so, you know, a lot of those amendments didn't make it through yet, so I think there's room for work yet. I think today I will end up being a reluctant no vote, but I hope we can continue to work together to improve this as we move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bowe. Next, we have Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So there was a comment that was made about the health and well-being of those Minnesotans living and breathing this every day, and that we should not be putting profit over health. That does not make a lot of sense to me. So this bill actually does put profit over health when we are talking about individuals in other countries that are working in subpar working conditions being forced to do so. So this was taken from a CBS article. on the health risks of chronic exposure to those working in the Congo. It says, according to the CDC, chronic exposure to cobalt-containing hard metal can result in serious lung disease called hard metal lung disease, meaning a lung disease caused by inhaling dust particles. Inhalation of cobalt particles can cause respiratory sensitization, asthma, decreased pulmonary function, and shortness of breath, the CDC says. The health agency says skin contact is also a significant health concern because dermal exposure to hard metal and cobalt salts can result in significant systematic uptake. Sustained exposures can cause skin sensitization, which may result in eruptions of contact dermatitis, a red, itchy skin rash, says the CDC. And then, despite the health risks, researchers with Amnesty International found that the most cobalt miners in Congo lack basic protective equipment like face masks, work clothing, and gloves. Many of the miners the organization spoke to for its 2016 report, 90 in total, who work or worked in the mines complained of frequent coughing or lung problems. It may be fine to talk about the wonderful health issues that this bill supposedly is going to be preventing, but what about the health issues of those that are creating the materials so that we can move to this wonderful utopia? You know, the Aztecs would sacrifice children to honor their rain god. And I would say that for many on the green energy side of the aisle, their climate change is their religion, and Mother Earth is what they care about most. Like the Aztecs, many are willing to sacrifice humans in other parts of the world to satisfy Mother Earth here in this state and country. This legislature talks a good talk about equity and equality and the need to pay for the mistakes of our past, but they turn a blind eye to the atrocities happening in other parts of the world in this day and age. The hypocrisy to me is absolutely astounding. And to vote on the amendments that I brought forward was really kind of a shocking, because these are serious concerns. In 20 years from now, who knows, there could be lawsuits. Maybe the people of the Congo will rise up, and perhaps the Uyghur Muslims will rise up and file lawsuits on the human costs that they have been put through in order for this country to achieve their energy goals. It's just, to me, the hypocrisy is outstanding. There's a lot of good talk about the wonderful aspects of green energy, but at the end of the day, many would rather fund the companies and fancy people that profit off the backs of forced labor, where people are beaten, starved, chained, and raped. And so at the end of the day, the party of progressiveness, the party of progress, is nothing more than a sham. That's it.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Next, we have Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, I just want to take this time to, first off, I just appreciate, you know, everyone in this committee. This has been a great experience for me. This is, you know, like my first committee I ever came into as a new member here. So it's been a great experience learning from all of you and learning stuff about, you know, energy and climate, right? I just want to use this time to just say a few concerns that I have just moving forward with this legislation. And I think a lot of it just resembles around mandates, right? I think we're coming out of a pandemic. We're coming out of such an interesting time. And I just think bringing a lot of this forward right now is maybe not the right dose that we need for the state of Minnesota. And again, these mandates, my concern for all those people out there that enjoy Ayn Rand, and my favorite book is Atlas Shrugged. Whenever you start mandating things, it forces the market sometimes to put costs back on the individual. And I can see those costs going back to the citizens and the people of Minnesota. You know, the argument is talked about a lot about, you know, bills and fees and how they don't go back. Well, our utility payers, and I think about those utility payers in my district back in 5B, what some of these mandates could mean for them when their electric bills start going up and it could be taxing them on our homes. I'm concerned there. And also, we talked a lot today, and my other concern is when we start mandating all of this new green technology and what it means for the world of tomorrow, I think there's a message to be had there, but my concern is that we're going to increase the demand, kind of like Representative Francis was saying, on these developing countries around the world. And in the end, we might be thinking that we're doing such a good thing here in Minnesota, but we're destroying the ecosystems of other countries. And it is one world, right? So if it's one world, let's lead, but let's lead and be moral about it, right? Let's make sure we're taking care of our fellow man. Let's make sure we're taking care of the environment, not only here in Minnesota, but around the world by the policy that we're making here in this committee. And I guess I'm just afraid that these mandates that we're pushing forward aren't going to take care of those solutions. And instead, we're going to do a lot more harm. We're going to hurt our families here by some of the decisions that we're making today. So I hope we can continue the conversation maybe after in the next sessions, that we can maybe try talking about how safe, responsible mining and practices and in policy that isn't so much centered around mandates, but letting the free market run its course. It will maybe be the better path for the state of Minnesota and for our country. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Igo. And next we have Representative Grunhagen. I'm going to let you go again. If you could just make it brief, please.
Yeah, I do. And I just want to thank Representative Stevenson for his comment for me. We're maybe getting closer than what we realize, and that might scare both of us, okay? Anyway, appreciate it. Secondly is Representative Lee, I share your concern on some of your comments. I do think incinerators should not be permitted in and built in high population areas, okay? And we can address that, and we can also address the environmental cost, but when you trade what they get, incinerators give off, for what the landfills are giving off and the crisis we're creating in the rural area, we have to address that, because in my county, in the next decade, we don't know where to go with anything. And I don't know about you, but we're going to continue generating trash, and we have to handle it in an environmental friendly way. But I do appreciate his comment and concern about building it in a high population minority area, which should not have been done, in my opinion. And I just want to say, too, as a member of this committee, I've learned a lot from both sides of the aisle. And it's my first year on here, and I sincerely appreciate being able to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee. It has been a very engaging session, and appreciate being able to hear all the good bills. And I just wanted to comment on a couple of items. I think it was Rep. Grunhagen, in his first opportunity to speak, talked about the importance of technology and the private sector and how very important they are to change. And I fully agree. But I also believe that government has a role in that, and that the voice of the people matter. You know, I hear in my community a couple issues that are most important to people, and the environment is right up there with healthcare. Those are the two things that I hear the most about. And this is from both sides of the aisle. I remember a hearing we had at the zoo school down here in Apple Valley, and the first row of the seating here, there were a couple of folks who had Trump hats on, and they were right in front sitting there, and they were some of the most engaging and pro-environment folks that I had at that meeting. And we saw eye to eye on many, many issues. And I think that, as Rep. Grunhagen just said, you know, we're coming closer all the time, and there are issues we agree on. And we need to get that focus back so that we get back to that bipartisan cooperation on environment and conservation. And so I think that this bill, you know, we need to realize that as we are working on these bills and the change in this energy economy that's transitioning, that it takes both sides of the aisle to make that work. And it takes action. and this bill takes action with a lot of well-crafted pieces of legislation. So I appreciate all the work that everybody has put into those bills and the thoughts and the suggestions and the work that people have put in. But we also need to realize that this is one bill. This is one bill from our committee. And every day when we get up, there's a new beginning and there's going to be more work to do beyond this, well beyond this. Even with all this good legislation, we have a ton of work to do to make our environment better for everybody. So I just wanted to mention that I hope that the members who have pointed out issues very dramatically that are worldwide issues will continue to speak out and continue to address them, not only in this committee, but in all their other committees that they're in, and will fight for that change, because that's simply, you know, why we are all here, is to make that change that you want to see. I also want to just go back to, this will be two comments on Representative Grunhagen, because he spoke a lot today and he said a lot of things on the session. And one of the things that you know, he just spoke about last was that he hopes that we as individuals will take actions that will help make the changes we want to see. And I just want to encourage us all to do that, because I think he's exactly right. We do have to do that. But this is a transition. We need to realize that our individual actions matter, and our committee actions here today, passing this bill, supporting it on the floor, will help Minnesota advance and create a better state, a better energy direction, less pollution, better environment, and I hope all of us can support it on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bierman. And before I turn it over to Minority Lead Swedinsky, I have just a couple comments that I want to say. First of all, the nature of committee being done virtually this year has been a challenge, but I really appreciate everybody's involvement and the discussions that we've had that have brought us to this place today. I know it hasn't been easy, probably not anyone's first choice, but I think we made it work, and I appreciate that. I also want to express my just deep gratitude to all of the staff that support this committee. You have all worked above and beyond the call of duty, and just really appreciate every moment of that, and so thank you. I also, Representative Grunhagen must have had a really big impact on all of us today, because I have just a couple comments that I want to make. I'm so grateful for his respectful dialogue, and one of the things he mentioned today was that it was important that we live our beliefs, and I think Representative Bierman just mentioned that as well, and I just want to assure Representative Grunhagen that I do. I have purchased an electric vehicle. I am installing solar panels on my home, and I am transitioning the appliances in my house from natural gas to electric as well. So I think these things are important, and I'm working through them on my in my own house. So I appreciate that point. It's a good one. All of our actions do matter. And so finally, I just want to thank Chair Long for his leadership this session and putting together a really, really strong bill. We heard from so many organizations and scientific experts and members of the community who support the many provisions that are in this bill. A few that I just want to quickly highlight, and I won't go into detail. I'm so grateful to have the Solar on Schools bill included, and also the Clean Next Generation Climate Act. And I'm really also excited about the climate modeling with the University of Minnesota, all really important things. And I think that these bills, as well as so many others, will truly move the dial in transitioning to renewable energy, and also that will be affordable and reliable. And it will also move the dial on reducing greenhouse gas emissions that are driving climate change. And so with all of that, I am grateful to everyone for their participation, especially the last couple of days, and for being giving grace to me, because I am new at all of this whole, you know, sharing thing, and it comes with a whole lot of details that one doesn't always recognize. So I appreciate your latitude with that. And with that, I want to again thank everybody for their participation, and I'm going to turn it over to Representative Swedinsky.
Well, Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Thank you. Just want to thank Molzon and Hermanson staff, along with Bob Eliff, and Solveig Beckel, and most importantly, Bill Glahn, our House partisan staff and nonpartisan staff. Appreciate your passion on this issues, and appreciate the committee members for their ability to engage in conversation. You know, we have some commonalities in some of these policies, but we also have great divides in others. And you know, I think this bill will pass, and will be passing off the House floor. But really looking at, you know, what the next month looks like in negotiations and the rest, and really would just push the members of this committee on both sides of the aisle to look at what areas do we agree on, and what areas make sense. And I think we have an opportunity, and I think there was some opportunities lost in this bill. I believe that we should be trying to protect prime farmland in greater ways. I think we have an ability to help site the growing sector of solar on a non-productive land as much as possible. I believe that we can engage business in a real way to find these reforms without government mandates. I believe the most expensive thing we can do is mandate something. We hear over and over a lot of these technologies are the cheapest ones available. Well, I believe the market will find that and make the best decision for them and their customers. I believe that we should be empowering local cooperatives to make their own decision. We have elected people in the local cooperatives that I think should be engaged in those policy decisions, not just state legislators and not just the PUC. I appreciate the work that was put into this bill, but I think we just need to go our separate ways, and I'll be voting no, but we will be looking at ways to bring both sides together when this bill comes to the Senate and the conference committee and the rest. You know, I think there will be some common ground found, and we hope that we can do the best job that we can along those lines. You know, I think we have some disagreements on policy. You know, we heard over and over that we just need to do the right thing. Well, oftentimes that is a good thing, but we also need to do what's right for our constituents and what do what's right within the region in the Midwest. And this bill is very, it does a lot, but I think it could do some other things as well. And so appreciate all the things that this committee did. Appreciate your hearing us as much as you did when it comes to amendments. And have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Swedzinski. So with that, we'll turn over final comments to Representative Long.
Thank you so much, Chair Akam, and thank you, members, for the great dialogue on the bill this week. And thank you, Chair Akam, for your capable work. You have been a terrific partner throughout this entire year, and I couldn't have asked for a better friend and companion as we're moving through this committee process. And I also want to thank the staff once again for their very hard work in what has been a very difficult and trying session in these conditions. I'll just want to say a few brief things in closing. First, I just want to highlight the importance of this bill and of the transition that we are undergoing for jobs. Clean energy businesses employ nearly 62,000 Minnesotans, and clean energy jobs are growing at more than two times faster than the economy as a whole. Our bill is going to expand these jobs even further. And we've got terrific bills like Representative Lippert's Innovative Finance Authority to help fund needed projects, Representative Akam's Minnesota Efficient Technology Accelerator to do important research and create new industries, and Rep. Lissegaard's Mountain Iron Project, which would mean Minnesota would have the second largest solar manufacturer in the U.S. right here in our state. And let's talk affordability. Great River Energy lost $170 million at its largest coal plant in 2019 alone. Without it, Great River Energy projects it will cut rates by over 10% for its member co-ops. Those are real dollars in ratepayer pockets, and those are cold, hard numbers. Representative Stevenson's Clean Energy First bill is going to make sure we're prioritizing cheaper renewable energy like this in the future, and Representative Holland's Intervenor Compensation Bill will mean low-income advocates have an even stronger presence at the Public Utilities Commission to keep an important eye on ratepayer value. And let's also talk health. Coal emits literally tons of toxins like mercury, arsenic, selenium, and cadmium into the air from their smokestacks every single day. Air pollution in Minnesota plays a role in up to 4,000 deaths. Let me repeat that, 4,000 deaths every single year, 500 hospitalizations, and 800 emergency room visits. So let's just be clear, clean energy saves lives. And so does clean transportation. Let's talk about children. I hope our concern that we've expressed in this committee extends to Minnesota's kids too. And Representative Lee and Representative Holland's electric bus bills will mean less pollution for our kids to breathe into their lungs when they're waiting for the bus to go to school, reducing the impacts of asthma in our communities. So this bill is going to meaningfully and measurably save lives right here in our state. I want to thank the committee for a very productive year. These are really critical issues and the stakes are very high. The window to avert the worst impacts of climate change is rapidly closing. The energy transition is happening fast and we can't get left behind as a state. And we must ensure that we are looking after our workers and our communities in this transition. This is a bill that Minnesota can be proud of to create good jobs, to do our part to address climate change, and to provide affordable, reliable, and clean power to all Minnesotans. And I ask members for their support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Long. So with that, Representative Long renews his motion that House File 2110 as amended be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and the clerk will take the roll. And the chair votes aye.
Sorry. Fair enough. Representative Long.
Aye.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
No.
Representative Bierman.
Aye.
Representative Bowe.
Bowe is a no.
Representative Christensen.
Aye.
Representative Franson.
No.
Representative Grunhagen.
No.
Representative Hollins.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
Aye.
Representative Igo.
No.
Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Representative Lizgard's excused. Representative Mecklund.
No.
Representative Munson is excused. Representative Stevenson.
Aye.
There being 9 ayes and 6 nays, the bill passes and is on its way to Ways and Means. And with that, everybody, we are adjourned. Thank you so much and have a great day.